Good luck. This is Tucker Wattel, and we're working our way through the story of Abram, Sarah, and the beginnings of our patriarchal and matriarchal lineages. That's right, we are up to Parshat Vayera, not to be confused with Parshat Vayera, which comes right before Bo and Shemot, but Vayera with the Yud. All right, hopefully I haven't given over this one before, but if I did, then it's still a good one. When people think destruction of Sodom, they think of Gafrit the Melech, sulfur and salt. However, the pasuk actually doesn't say sulfur and salt. It says Gafrit the Esh, which is sulfur and fire, or people sometimes call the sulfur compound brimstone, which used to be a term for sulfur compounds. So that's where the term fire and brimstone comes from. But do you know what happens when sulfur and fire mix? It actually, in addition to, you know, potential little explosion and a greater fire, it actually forms sulfur dioxide, which then reacts with the moisture in the atmosphere to form sulfuric acid. And then you get like real strong acid rain. The fire and the burning of the sulfur killed the people of Sodom, but also decimated the building. It was a destructive. This intense acid ate through the material in the building. Now, normally after a fire, there are charred remains and structural pieces still intact, but the sulfuric acid was so intense that it ensured that everything disintegrated, so that everything was gone. There was nothing left at all of Sodom. It was a complete and utter annihilation, leaving nothing but a memory. But yet, even this was not sufficient. Now, the main sin of Sodom was the horrible atrocities that they committed against one another, and even worse, towards people who were coming for visiting outside. It's the exact opposite of Hachnasa Sorachim. It was Hachaka Sorachim. They distanced people from wanting to visit, and they tortured them. They humiliated their fellow. They wronged them. And they wronged them in such a serious manner. When somebody does that, it not only harms them, it can destroy him. You can ruin a person. Their whole life can be ruined based on when you mistreat somebody. And it was so bad, you know, the things that Sodom did and sometimes things that unfortunately people still do, that when you wrong somebody to such an extent that you're scarring them, sometimes these individuals cannot recover. And therefore, Mita Keneged Mita, Sodom could not recover. Hashem arranged it so that Lot's wife would turn into a pillar of salt, thus inundating the barren land that was Sodom with an element that would prevent future growth. How do you prevent soil from regenerating and plants from regrowing? You add salt. It ruins the earth. Sodom had to remain barren. It had to remain a place where people would remember what Hashem did to it and why it was done. Now, interestingly, this notion of a destruction of salt does, in fact, come up again in Parshat Nitzavim, where the Torah does actually use this term of Gafrit v'melach, which is sulfur and salt, not fire and brimstone or fire and sulfur. So it's referencing Sodom, but it simply says Gafrit v'melach. And just as Hashem upturned those wicked people, so too Hashem will utterly destroy anyone who turns away from him to worship Avodah Zarah. So let's make an analogy for people who, in a sense, destroy the world through Avodah Zarah, the same way the actions of Sodom. And the pasuk states, Gafrit v'melach, Srefa kol arza, lo tizra v'lo titzmach, v'lo ya'ala ba kol esev, kemepechat Sodom v'mora. Sulfur and salt, interesting, right? Not fire and salt. Sulfur and salt will burn the entire land. You will not plant, you will not grow, and no vegetation will rise up like the upheaval of Sodom and Gomorrah. Harming another individual or treating somebody cruelly is as much of a sin as fully turning away from Hashem and worshiping other gods. That's how bad it is. Perhaps even worse. Sodom is a reminder of Gafrit Va'esh, of sulfur and fire, right, which is the initial pasuk, which is numerically equal to Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lufnei Hashem. Now, you may ask yourself, what in the world is the connection there, right? Nitzavim is when they're standing before God, before Moshe, you know, right before they're going into the land of Israel. So how is the pasuk connected? So it's actually as follows, in two different ways. One, Parshat Nitzavim is one of those many parshiot in Dvarim, which contains with it both a bracha and a klala, that they're standing there as a testimony that if they do what Hashem asks and they act properly, then they're going to get amazing bracha, but if they don't, then they're going to get this Allah, is what they call it there, or klala, right, this curse. So there is some still reminder about, you know, and there's constant reminders about turning to worship of Avodah Zarah, and that it's going to happen, you got to watch out for it, and, you know, of course, obviously all the ways we can unfortunately sin with our fellow man as well. So it's actually very fitting. But there's an additional piece. Beginning of Parshat Nitzavim speaks how we all stand before Hashem. Everything we do as a nation and individuals is a nitziv. The word nitziv means to stand, but can also mean a monument or a testimony, or sometimes even a pillar. Right? Lot's wife became a nitziv melech, a pillar of everlasting monument of salt. Right? She was an everlasting monument, right? Salt is everlasting, right? It never gets destroyed, right? It can evaporate. The water, salt still remains, right? It can dissolve, but salt, it stays. It's what it does. But it also preserves. You put it in meat. You put it in cheese. You put it in other things to help it preserve and last longer. But it can also destroy, like we saw with the ground. It is associated with the covenant of the eternality of the Jewish people. The carbon always has to have melech on it, always has to have salt on it, which is what we have at our Shabbos table. But it's also something, even though it's so important, it's also something that's so simple and comes from the ground. So we have to remember the humility there as well. Something which is so important and so integral, but also, you know, that it can invalidate the sacrificial service if you don't have salt. But at the same time, it's something which comes from a very base element and something which sometimes is extremely common. When one remembers the salt, he remembers humility, but he also remembers Hashem's covenant. One who keeps these two things in mind will hopefully go out of his way to avoid harming others, even accidentally. And of course, straying from Hashem in general in any respect, not just with other people, but certainly also with respect to Avodah Zarah and any other ways of going against the ways of Hashem. So therefore, it's our duty as Jews, and of course the will of Hashem, that we shall be an eternal testimony and a dut or an etziv to the world. So getting into the concept of etziv, there is a difference between an etziv and an amud, which I'm not going to quite get into here, but it is a fascinating thing that there are two words for pillars, and both mean standing, an etziv and an amud. And perhaps when we get to Parshat Nitzavim this year, I will talk about it. But ultimately, they both are involved with standing up in testimony, and we as Jews are a testimony to the world. What we do, our actions that we do, the world is always looking at us. We don't have to be reminded by the news or anything like that. Everybody's always watching us. We are Hashem's children, just like every mankind is Hashem's children. But we have an additional responsibility that we are a more direct reflection of Hashem in this world. We are a Mamlechet Kohanim. We're a special, the priest of all the rest, amongst all the rest of the world, in a certain sense. We are designated, and everybody looks up to us, whether they'll admit it or not, even if it's subconscious. People expect more from us, and we represent Hashem more strongly than any other nation or any other individual. And therefore, we have to act the part. And therefore, it's incumbent upon us, more than anybody else in the world, to make sure that we are a testimony to what's right, what's proper, and what Hashem wants. I guess it's 2 minutes early, but that's what I got for today. So I hope you enjoyed. Take care, and Shabbat Shalom.